Welcome to Perspectives, a podcast by Essence Learning LLC, and a place where leaders learn from leaders. Let's join today's episode.
Hello, and welcome back to our Perspectives podcast. I'm your host today, Kenitra Kiki Hikes, and I am excited to be back, especially for today, is to have this conversation on women who lead. And we have three great minority women here today to talk about their leadership experience, and then also talk about the equality struggle that we're still having and facing in the workforce today, especially with women. And it couldn't be a better time as we go into celebrating Women's History Month to have this conversation. And so, you know, as we all know, the advancement of women, it's still struggling to this day. And so we really do want to help your organization empower those women who need to lead, as well as for you listeners, give yourself some tips on how to become a leader in your organization or move up and just become an empowering woman as well. And so let me introduce you to three empowering women who are going to help you along in your journey as well. So if you could please today, panelists, just give us your name and your background, what you do, so that the audience can get to know a little bit more about you. Prashama, would you like to go first?
Sure. Thank you, Kiki, and thank you for this opportunity. So I'm Prashama Daly, and I have about 15 plus years that I have served and working in the human resource field. I've had an opportunity to lead various teams and actually now have an opportunity to be able to help support a team that is globally. And so I'm happy to be here and can't wait to dive into some of the questions and challenges that we'll be discussing today.
Great. Thank you and welcome. Melissa, I'll turn it over to you.
Hi, Kiki, and thank you all for having me. My name is Melissa Fields. I am the founder and CEO of Shades of Grey Design Studio, and where we do primarily residential interior design here in the San Antonio area and beyond. A little bit about my background. I am actually a retired Air Force veteran, served in the Air Force for 20 years. I've had numerous leadership roles, probably too many to tell, from team lead, flight commander, deputy group commander, and all of that. So I'm definitely not a foreigner to leadership. But yes, it's been a great journey, and just I love that you guys are doing this to empower other women.
Great. Well, first off, Melissa, thank you for your service to this country. Great appreciation for that. And for those of you who are listening, Melissa has an amazing background in her, wherever she's taking this podcast today. I'm going to need her to come to my house and help me.
Okay.
We'll be in contact, Melissa.
Yes, ma'am. I'm right there for you.
And last, but of course not least, we have Dr. Jeannie Murphy.
Thank you so much for having me. An amazing panel today. I'm so happy to be here. I'm a higher educational professional. I am also a small business owner. And I love to take in part in community activities that include. So I'm just very excited to be with everyone.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Murphy, for being here. Dr. Murphy is a regular guest on our podcast, so we're very happy to have her in this conversation today, because I know she can give great insight. So what are we talking about today? Let's talk about it. Let's address the issues. Let's put it all out on the table, right? So, you know, still today, it's 2024, yet women are still earning just 82 cents to the dollar that men are earning in the workplace. I mean, I think every year I repeat the same statement over and over again that we're still lower in pay. But women do also have a well-proven track of leadership success within the workplace, but we still face cultural and systemic challenges when we're really looking towards climbing that corporate ladder. And so, you know, With that being said, we also have a gap in leadership of women of color, as well as those who are getting promoted. So we have that huge gap as well. Can, as you being a woman minority leader, can you share with us your experience in the workplace, maybe how you got into your positions that you are now and those challenges? And, you know, what were those highs, those lows, and how did you overcome maybe that discrimination or look for allies to help you get where you are?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. If
go ahead, Dr. Murphy.
Okay, thank you. That's a great question. I can share. I remember early in my career being the very youngest woman leader in the space, and also being the only minority woman leader in a leadership space. And it was very interesting. And I say that with a smile, because you often want to find a mentor or someone that you can lean on and ask questions of and have the opportunity to handhold and get walked through different scenarios and different conversations that can strengthen you. I'll share that what was important to me at the time is to remember all of the training that I received formally and informally, and making sure that I also kept my faith and stayed grounded in that journey. And many times I remember being advised to be still and smile and only speak when spoken to. I'm very taken back personally that a professional would have the courage to share such a recommendation with me. And I was very much capable of answering the questions or providing feedback and or being a part of the conversation. So those types of experiences definitely shaped how I look at women leaders and how I show up as an ally and an advocate in spaces where I realize that we are few in this space, how I can be very supportive, which is situational, depending on the person and the relationship you have, but just making sure that I'm proactively being available and to share everything that I've gone through that was difficult and how I overcame that, but making sure I'm asking the right question of a woman leader. What is it that you need to be successful, and how can I support you during that journey?
Great. I know we were all shaking our heads with keeping that faith. I know a lot of the time our faith is challenged. As well during that. So thank you for bringing it up, because I'm like, yes, we all have those times.
Yes.
You know, and I'll just share also, Kiki, is, you know, one of the things that that Jeannie had mentioned is around finding that mentor, you know, and being able to, you know, if you see someone, and I did, I saw someone that I felt that, you know, I wanted to be able to embody, and I reached out, you know, having the courage to be able to tap someone on the shoulder and say, just do you have time to just have a moment to be able to, you know, have a conversation with me. And then that gave me an opportunity to sit and have more than just a couple of conversations with them to prepare me to be able to be a leader, to help groom me to be able to know how to, you know, be a woman of color, to know how to get into those rooms and how to get into those spaces. Because sometimes you can't do it alone. You have to have someone, you know, to go with you. And believe it or not, it may be someone that is not of color that actually opens up those doors, but it's about having that relationship with other like-minded women who just give you a little bit of time, you know, to be able to say, okay, you know, I'll show you, pretty much show you the ropes. And so that actually helped. And then when you do have those challenges that come up in those organizations, whether it's in corporate or whether it's in a nonprofit or in education, you can be able to pick up the phone and say, hey, you know, how help me to be able to balance this conflict. How can I have this difficult conversation where I won't, you know, where certain perceptions won't be perceived negative, but so that we can be able to move forward with these type of challenges that we're having in our office and workplace. So those are some of my experiences.
Right.
Well, I think I have a bit of a unique situation, only because I am currently in an industry that is predominantly women, right? So you've got a sprinkle of men in there, but it's predominantly us that's in this industry. However, I will say It's still a challenge because we deal with, you know, vendors, we deal with trades, we deal with industry partners who are led by men. And so sometimes it's hard because, you know, you're in these meetings with them and you're talking with them and you're doing business with them. And I think they have these preconceived notions about, you know, who you are as a woman leader, right? Or who you are, for me as a designer. I only know a little bit of this, but I don't know the business side of things. So there's those misconceptions. And so it's still a challenge, I think, for us, even though we're in an industry where it's mainly women, we still have to deal with men. And so you're still not looked upon as, you know, the industry experts as much, right? And so it's a little difficult there. But I will say, going into my military experience, I saw it the most as I was going up and getting promoted in the ranks. Being in leadership positions as a female, especially in the military, I had quite a few men who had a hard time following my lead because I'm a woman. And then on top of that, I'm a minority woman. So what in the world would I know about that world? Okay. And so it's hard because when you have a seat at the table and you're there because of what you know and not because of what you look like or what, you know, it's always, well, you know, she got into that position because of X, Y, Z. No, I got into this position because I worked very hard to get here, because I know what I'm talking about. And I know how to lead and I know how to manage resources, but I'm also learning because I don't know everything. But when we're put in those leadership positions, I feel like a lot of the men in the military, they have an issue with that still. And they'll still smile in your face and they'll still act like they're good with you. But really deep down inside, there's a chip on the shoulder. So it's very hard. Full disclosure, I've had moments where I have had to, you know, excuse myself afterwards and go into the women's bathroom and close myself off into a stall and cry out of frustration and let it out. But then I'd get myself right back together and go out there, and I would never let them see that. And so, you know, Prashama talked about, you know, relationships. Relationships are everything. And I think when you find your people and you find those mentors and you find those people that have been there and they understand what you're going through, you need to lean on that. And then also faith. You know, I really, really had my faith had been tested so many times. And I was always asking, you know, why, Lord? And, you know, why am I going through this? What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me in this season? Why is it so difficult when I feel like I'm trying to do the right thing, but you're still being looked at because you are a female? So yeah, I think, you know, I see it both ways, as a woman in leadership, that it's still a struggle. But I think when you have those mentors and you have those like-minded people that understand what you're going through, that can literally take you under their wing and guide you and give you that wisdom that you need to make those right decisions when you're leading.
I love how you all talked about finding the right people at the right time to help move you forward in your journey, right? And those things like those relationships and those mentors that all of you talked about, and that learning aspect of learning how to move along those chains and to really overcome those obstacles, because other people can help you. You can bring in other people to help you with those things and to help pull you up as well. And so, you know, I want to ask from a woman's perspective, you know, we know that men are still dominating the boardrooms and the executive CEO rooms, but how do we as women, how can we help organizations make more room for women leaders? Is it our responsibility to do that? Is it the organization's responsibility? How do we provide more opportunities for women, especially when you're in a leadership position as well? How do you help those women to move up into other leadership roles?
I'll start, Kiki. You know, one of the things is to be able to, so you asked, you know, several questions in one. The first question around, you know, basically holding these organizations accountable, right? So being able to, if your company, if your organization, if they have, you know, pulse surveys, if they have 360s or their annual survey, you know, add that commentary in there, is that you would like to see more diverse teams. You would like to be able to see more, you know, women and, you know, in the C-suite or executive leadership. Okay. So that's one, is to be able to hold those organizations accountable. Look within those organizations to see, you know, how many, you know, how diverse is their leadership team? You know, how diverse is their board? And then those are, you know, some of the things that you start looking at. And then the other part too is, you know, it goes back to giving other, if you're in a leadership role, and I have been, is giving someone else an opportunity. Give them a project, you know, give them something they can start off small, or give them something to say, hey, you know, I would like for you to partner with, you know, with another, you know, individual, another person that's another leader across, you know, a division or across the another team. Because that's giving them an opportunity to say, oh, okay, my leader, my manager, my supervisor sees something in me, see a skill set that I can be able to exemplify to others who don't be able to, who are not able to see that, right? And so just being able to, you know, pay it forward, you know, and if, even if that individual may not have the skill set to take on a project, coach them, you know, be able to give them, you know, certain feedback, you know, to say, hey, this is how you can do this, or this is how you could have done that better. You know, it's all about just giving them a chance, you know, an opportunity. And so those are some of the things that I would like to just kind of expound upon there.
Yeah. And, you know, sharing that workload and assigning them projects, that helps to put them in the spotlight. I think you're also helping build up their self-esteem and their confidence when you do that as well, because those are important traits as a woman leader that you need. You need to be able to be confident to walk into that room and sit with a room full of men and say what you need to say. And so I love that you talked about that, bringing in that confidence part, like giving them assignments and projects, or maybe pushing them more in front of leadership to help out with that too. And definitely the accountability part. We don't hold people accountable enough for not meeting goals. So there's a lack of accountability, especially when we look in different organizations as well. So thank you for talking. You hit some great points on that. So Melissa, Dr. Jenny, anything to add? What would you like to add to that?
I was just going to say, well, I love what Prashama said too. I think developing your people is huge and giving them that opportunity to grow. But I would also add to that, put your name in the hat, throw your name in the hat and put yourself out there. Get out of your comfort zone. And even if you're trying to coach and develop someone else, encourage them to do that too. Do it. You know, we hear this a lot. Do it scared, right? You might be scared or nervous or feel like you're inadequate or you're not qualified. But I feel like if you're out there and you're seeking those positions like board member positions, or, you know, those types of leadership positions where, you know, you're getting to know people, you're getting connected with the right people who can pull you into those rooms. So you have a seat at the table so you can at least look and observe and see how leadership works, see how those leadership decisions are made. It's exposure. Thank you. The exposure, getting them exposed to things that maybe they may not otherwise have been exposed to, but you're coaching them and leading them up to that so that people know who they are. They recognize the face. They might not remember your name right away, but if you get seen enough and you show that you can, you know, what you can do, what your skills, talents, and abilities are, there's always someone watching. And I think a lot of times we forget that, and we're like, well, and we shrink back and we're like, well, I don't know, because I don't have every single box checked, but I have some of them. Throw your name in the hat. Throw your name in the hat. Why not you? And so I feel like, you know, in order for us to get those other, you know, opportunities, we have to be able to have the courage and the boldness to come out there and be a part of that, and to be seen, to be exposed, to make those connections, to get to know the right people, because really it only takes one, and you have that one opportunity, and you don't know what doors that opportunity could open and what that could lead you to. So I really feel like the development, the exposure, and really just having the courage to put yourself out there, even when you don't think you're at that upper echelon, but everybody has to start somewhere. And so how are you going to get that opportunity when people don't even know who you are or what the gifts, talents, and abilities you have that make them an asset? So that's kind of, and I don't know if that, I mean, that's just kind of my perspective on that and just, you know, kind of going off of my experiences as well. And even knowing, you know, some of the troops or the people that have, you know, that have been under my leadership, you know, that's what I've always tried to do was push them out of their comfort zone, give them those opportunities, for, like Prashama said, give them a project. And at that time, you're developing them and you're exposing them to something different.
Great points that everyone has shared, and thank you so much. And I, how important it is to really go back for 1 minute. We talked so much of the importance of what we can do, and it's so true. All the things that we can do, from a mentor to providing stretch opportunities, seeking out different personal interests, whether it's from special projects to
Dr. Murphy? I think we might have lost her for a second there. So hopefully she can come back in and jump on board, because she was making some great points about the accountability factor. I really want to hear what she has to say about that. But I would like to touch back on, Melissa, what you said about being bold, right? I automatically think that's advice that I give my girlfriends. Because I'm like, you need to walk into that job interview like you are a 24-year-old white male out of college. Because they walk in very bold, like, I may be just out of college, but I'm going to get this manager or this director position. I'm like, but you have the skills. You actually have the skills, but you need to be bold enough to walk in with the attitude that this job is for you and you can do that job. And I think a lot of women don't have that conversation or get into that kind of mode because they still shy away from how to interact with men, and they don't want that pressure or that responsibility. What has been your experience with that resistance in interacting with men, especially if you have to lead them, right? Because if you're leading maybe a majority male team, it looks a lot differently than if you're meeting a female-based team. So how have you personally interacted and overcome that resistance when leading or interacting with men in the workplace?
Are you asking all of us? Is this
all of you?
Okay. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I guess I'll start. I just kind of go back to the military experience because I've had it for so long. I actually came in enlisted, and then about 5.5 years in, I got my commission, and so I retired as a major in the Air Force. So of course, as you grow in the ranks, you know your responsibilities and the leadership positions and the roles that you're placed in, you know, they get tougher, they get harder, you're growing, you're managing more resources, leading more people. So a lot of them were males, and I was actually in the contracting world. So I was a warranted contracting officer when I was an officer in the Air Force. And so I did lead a lot of males. For the most part, I think most of them were okay with it, but I would always have the one or two that you could tell they had an issue with it and they wanted me to know. They wouldn't be necessarily outwardly disrespectful, but they would do little things and throw shade and do, you know. So in those instances, you just kind of, you know, pull them to the side and you have a nice little meeting behind closed doors and to let them. And so, you know, I'm not, you know, and there's a saying that was said a lot when I was in the military, and maybe they still say it, I'm not sure, but you praise in public and you punish in private. And so you never want to go down to that level, right? It's like, mm-hmm. Okay, let's have a conversation privately and let's get to the root of the issue. If your issue is because I'm a female and you feel like I shouldn't be in this position, you know, that's not going to change. So what can we do? Because that's not going to change until my boss removes me from that position. You're going to have to come in every morning on time and you're going to have to deal with the fact that I am your supervisor or I am your commander, period, dot. So now that we've gotten that taken care of, moving forward, what is the solution? How do we work together? Because at the end of the day, you're still going to have to obey the orders. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I'm saying? If that's not going to work, we're just going to use the chain of command and you're going to go up the next level and they're just going to tell you to do the same, but it's probably not going to be as pleasant as if we can just handle this at our level. So it's one of those things where I didn't feel like I had to go overboard and feel like I had to lead like a man because I am a woman and I am who I am, right? And that's my personality. But I also let them know that you know what we're not going to do. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do this. And I would be very clear about the roles, responsibilities, the expectations, the accountability, and also go back and remind them about what the mission is. This is the mission. So whether I'm a guy or I am a woman, we still have a mission to accomplish at the end of the day. So, you know, so that's kind of how I would handle it. I mean, it's one of those things where if we're in a conference room, we're in a meeting, we still have a mission to get done. And I would always try to remind myself to focus on the mission and not necessarily how the person feels, but try to work together to make sure that it's done and it's done correctly, right? And that we're all, you know, respectful, and things like that. So if it would really be, you know, kind of uncomfortable, whatever, those things would be handled, you know, behind closed doors. So it's just, I think it's always dependent on the situation and the person, right? Because people have different personalities. You don't lead everybody the same way, right? You might have the same process, but the way you grow and develop people are going to be different based on that person, where they're at, you know, in their career and their personality and how they respond, you know, to the leadership. So.
Yeah. All great points. Talking about that, you know, I always talk about that. We always get the stigma as a woman of color being angry or having an attitude. Yes. And so you're right, Melissa, how you have to handle the situation is completely different. And there are things that you have to do and say behind closed doors and always bring it back to the business. What's the mission? What's the business plan? What's our purpose? In order for that to break those stereotypes down, you have to be able to be bold and confident to do that. Prashama, Jeannie, welcome back. We missed out on your wonderful advice that you were saying, but I want to give you a chance right now on your thoughts with that, Dr. Murphy.
Yes, thank you. And I'm glad to be back so quickly. I wanted to piggyback off of the last comment in regards to just simply being able to lead differently. And I thought of an example in my experience to where, to your point, Kiki, there was a comment made in the workplace of women being more emotional than a man when it comes to leadership, maybe some of the ways we communicate as women being just viewed as inferior. And so I would thank the person for sharing their honest opinions and their perspectives, but really look into opportunities to uncover where that bias is coming from and ask the question to the point that we've heard, where do we go from here? So I may not change your experiences or your perspective on women and women leaders, but we do have to work together. We're mission focused. So where do we go from here? And really trying to work in a space that sometimes is very stressful because you realize you're working against the grain at times because of things that are out of your control, but staying mission focused is important. And the point that I wanted to hone in earlier before I was accidentally disconnected was looking at accountability at the organizational level. If we realize that within the organization and the culture of the organization allows behaviors that are not going to really be mission focused, that is an opportunity to go back and look at things that can be done internally and externally to change that. I don't believe that it's very fair for this known bias to just continue, and that, oh, well, that's a male leader. Oh, that's a woman leader. Oh, women are maybe more emotional, or maybe they talk with their hands, or their nonverbals are more evident all the time. But where do we go from here? With understanding all of the history behind biases, where do we go from here, and how do we create strategies to just really minimize those biases so that we can all, again, overcome that? So I wanted to just, you know, point that out, and how important it is for us as women leaders to have those honest conversations at all times, and have the courage to point out behaviors that are unacceptable, whether it's from another female leader as well, because that happens quite often in leadership, and we see it. But really, when it comes to our male counterparts, to have the honest conversation, and to your point, maybe in private, but to have the courage to say it professionally in public as well. Call it out.
Amen.
Call it out.
All of it.
Yes.
I love it.
Prashama, do you have anything to add?
Oh man, I think Jeannie just summed it up. You know, we need. I mean, let's just leave it like that. You know, thank you for the opportunity, because that right there, I'm still trying to take that in myself.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you know, just to be able to let, you know, let it be known, you know, publicly, professionally, I love that.
Yes.
So. Yeah. That public professionally part.
Yeah,
that's, everybody's got to work on that, right? Right, because it's sometimes a struggle. Yeah. And I know, Melissa, you mentioned earlier, like, you just have to go to the bathroom and just cry it out, you know?
I mean, that's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting all those feelings out too. But yes, learning how to do it publicly and professionally. Absolutely. Well, I would love to continue the conversation, because I have so many more questions to ask you. Our producer is telling us we're at the end of our time for our podcast today. So I want to thank each of you, Prashama, Jeannie, Melissa. Thank you for joining us and talking about women who lead as well. And I hope for those of you who are listening that you really do take down some nuggets of advice. And during this Women's History Month, learn how to do these things. Go out, take some courses, find a mentor. Maybe you can mentor someone else as well. This is your opportunity to do that. And if you're looking to explore your own personal bias, reach out to Essence Learning at www.essencelearning.net. They have a great resource for exploring your own personal bias as well. And that will be a stepping stone for you to really know how to unlock your biases and how to manage them. So with that being said, I thank you all. Happy Women's History Month. And join us again for our next podcast.
Thank you for joining Perspectives, a podcast by Essence Learning LLC. Essence Learning is your solution to personal and professional development. We partner with our clients to develop a learning strategy that will increase productivity, enhance performance, and align with their purpose and goals. For more information, visit us online at essencelearning.net or call us at 1-877-657-5755.